Well, welcome everybody. Pastor Tim Karskett here at Christian Center Shreveport. Pray you're having a good day today. It's our daily podcast. Well, you're watching the world events. You see what's happening. Israel's in crisis. We're seeing another 9/11. What should be our response? Let's talk about that in the prophetic concerning what's happening right now.
בלבב בנימה נפש יהודי הומיה ולפת מזרח קדימה עין לציון צופיה עוד לא עבדה תקוותה
national anthem as we stand with Israel today, not just the government of Israel, but with God's land, the covenant land of Israel. Well, welcome. It's Pastor Tim Karskett again, as I said, as you know me well. It is the ninth day of October 2023, and we are in a crisis worldwide, even though it's narrowed down to the land of Israel right now. It's much larger. The ramifications are much larger. And we are going to talk about that today, the prophetic significance of that. This is a theme that we've been sharing for months and months, probably years, well, years and years, but really focused this year about what is happening in the earth concerning the war season that we're in. And we're in the decade of war. We know that. We talked about that last week. We gave our prophetic word for 5784, and I didn't realize it was going to come to pass so quickly, some of it, the chaos and the calamity. That was the word the Lord gave me. Confusion, disorder, everything that happened last week, well, this past weekend, really. As we came out of the Feast of Tabernacles, at the end of the feast, unprovoked attack by Hamas, Islamic spirit, I call it, with the help of the Prince of Persia, Iran, and also the help of Russia, which is either Gog, Magog, when you look at scriptures, when it names those places. And they are on the war field, and that's what I've been teaching you guys, and we've been teaching you for months and months and months. They are all on the field. When you watch a war, when somebody is watching a war from far, when they're, you know, putting maps out and showing what's going on, you know, they look at it and say, who's on the field? What are the assets? Who are enemies? And when we look at this, we're looking at some of the strongest principalities in all the earth that are on the field. Now, today, I just want to title 9/11 again, because that's the word the Lord gave me several months ago. If you were watching, I was on a Wednesday night service. We may have, I think we put it up on a little video clip a couple times, just letting everybody know to be praying into that. I was watching in this vision. I saw a storm coming, and it was calm, though. It was very calm. There was nothing happening, and the Lord says, this is the calm before the storm, and you've heard that term before, and then He showed me this calamity and this chaos breaking out. It was going to release fear. It's going to release things in the earth, and it was going to cause an ingathering into the church, the body of Messiah. And people would come, some out of fear, but we would see a potential harvest if we captured it properly. And so then this weekend, this event occurs. And I'll say this, I was briefed Sunday, through the organization I work with. We were not just me personally, there were thousands of people on the briefing, but we were briefed by the ambassador of Israel, and he said over and over in his speech to us, his communication to us, that this is 9/11 again. And that's where we are. We are at another 9/11. The Islamic spirit, which many think has gone away, is not. It's just been brooding. It's been hiding. And now it's manifesting in the earth. President Trump and his administration, the military, I'll say him, I mean, he just gave the authorization for it. literally, they took the restraints off the military in Syria and that area and allowed them to go and take out ISIS, which they pretty much did. Within a year, that group was silenced and removed. And with this administration and the other administrations in the world, Israel just came out of a weak administration, liberal, much like ours in America. And it has allowed that giant to grow again. And it's growing not just ISIS, but the tactics of Hamas, which adopted the same tactics that ISIS did, which is, you know, terror, rape, butchering people, terrorizing people, taking hostages, and then, you know, treating them like dogs in the midst of it. I've watched some of the videos. I've seen some of the clips and testimonies of what was seen and watched. And I mean, it's horrific. Most of it you cannot watch. You cannot pay attention to. It's so evil. You don't want to watch it. Evil's evil. I think you need to catch a glimpse of it enough to get a passion to pray. But for the most part, it's just pure evil. Israel has not seen this type of treatment since the Holocaust. That's how long it's been since this type of inhumane treatment. Now, this would go for anybody, not just for Israelis. This happened to many of Arab people in Syria and Iraq during that war, where these demonized people were mistreating people, sometimes Christian groups, sometimes just Sunnis, depends on what group you're with. That they treated them accordingly. And now you're seeing that same tactic. And for whatever they use that playbook, this is not the ultimate playbook of Islam to take over the world. They allow these type of groups, Hamas and Hezbollah, to do their bidding. But for the most part, they don't believe in taking the world over that way. They believe little by little. That's the Muslim Brotherhood model, which is one of the largest Islamic organizations, very strong in America, which is little by little you start taking over society. It's actually a kingdom principle, which is like almost the Seven Mountains prophetic word, which is you invade those seven mountains and then little by little you start taking over society. And that's the long-term plan. But these are short-term gains, and it creates enough fanaticism among Muslims who feel oppressed. Now, my word was it would be like a 9/11, and that's the best way I could describe it. That's what the Lord showed me. That's what he said to me, and I believe this is coming to pass now. I'm not here to pat myself on the back, oh, you got the word right. That's not the point. The point for me, and I shared it in my congregation Sunday, is my greater desire of that accuracy of that word of knowledge was the fact that there's going to be a harvest. People are going to come. So to me right now, you know, because it's so 1,000 miles away or wherever you live, kilometers away, you know, you can detach yourself from it. People in the rest of the world, 9/11 did not affect them like it affected us in America. Because why? It was on our soil. But to us, it unified our nation. And right now, Israel's government is unifying. Based on that, it looks like they may put together a unified government. That's what we were briefed with yesterday for the purpose of this. And so the enemy used the distraction of the judicial reform and the separation. The enemy spotted the weakness in the political, cultural battle and attacked. Now, remember my prophetic word I gave last week about the cultural political battle and the angel of the Lord that wants to come, and the Lord's not on one side or the other. He's for himself, and we gave the word. We have to be for the Lord. And in the midst of this is another cultural political battle, which was going on in Israel, and the enemy saw the weakness and captured the moment. Look, are we not seeing that all around the world? That's what we're seeing. That's what we're watching in everything that we're seeing in the earth. So as we go forward in this day, in these days, I think what is our responsibility is to, one, obviously stay on the wall, make sure that we don't give the Lord rest until Jerusalem becomes the praise in all the earth, that it becomes that purpose. Now, we are scheduled to go to Israel next week. We were leaving the 19th, I should say. And right now, we don't know that's all possible. We're watching. It's up to the Israeli government, obviously. And we don't want to go in presumption, you know, and go to a place where we're not safe. We want to be where God wants us to be. So pray with us on that. But for this moment right now, we have to stand with God's apple of his eye. In the third chapter of Joel, you know, he talked about how he's going to restore the fortunes of Judea and Jerusalem. And he said, I'll gather all the nations. Now we know this is for a coming battle. But it says, we will take them down the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there on behalf of my people and my inheritance Israel, whom have scattered among the nations, and they have divided up my land, speaking of Canaan, of the land of Israel. And they have cast lots for my people, traded a boy for a harlot, and sold a girl for wine that they may drink. So the Lord lays out this principle that it's his, you know, it's they divided up my land, he says, number one. Because the Lord, when he has covenant, it's his. And when we're in covenant with him, it's ours. And that is the portion that we have, is that there's a warning here for all our nations, especially for us, you Americans. And I shared this with my congregation. We want to make sure that America is on the side of the Lord right now. We want to make sure that we are standing with what God's purposes are in the land and for his purposes with Israel. I was going to lay a biblical foundation Sunday as to why we stand with Israel. Just didn't have the time, and I hope to do that in the days ahead. But as we look at Israel and their purpose in the land, the Lord gives a scene here of what he's doing, that the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed, and he will make sure that this all comes to pass. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as we see this, that he's going to roar one day and get back this land. But Israel is a place of worship for the Lord. Remember in, I think it was in John 4, it says that about the Jesus speaking to the Samaritan woman, and he says to the Samaritan woman, you Samaritans worship what you do not know, but we know what we worship. The salvation is of the Jews. So for us, our salvation came through the Jews and through the Jewish people, or through Israel. Remember, Israel and the Jewish people are synonymous, because they weren't called Jews till later. Judah, and that's where you get Judah. From that later, they were called Jews. But prior to that, they were just Israel. But we were grafted into that through Abraham, through Jesus. We are joint heirs with Abraham concerning that promise. And this is a portion of thanks we need to give and stand with the place that fought for our salvation. In the Old Testament, in the days of tabernacle and temple worship, they would sacrifice animals for the sake of Gentiles coming in. Okay, so we're here because of that. So this is one of the reasons we stand with Israel. Well, today it's a 9/11. And here's what I think. The Lord showed me 9/11, you know, it's going to cause an ingathering. Well, the point is here, that means to me, this thing is going to keep building. People are going to start looking and beginning to wonder about their salvation, wonder about their safety. And they're going to do evaluations in their heart. And they're going to start making a decision, do I need God? So a focus right now is going to be turning to the Lord. So this 9/11 moment, 9/11, this 9/11, 2001, when the towers in New York fell. This 9/11 moment in Israel, let's agree with the prophetic word that God wants to have an ingathering. He wants to see people come to the Lord, come to the house of God, and begin to seek his face. I had a word Sunday. The Lord showed me Jews and Arabs in the land are going to have multiple dreams and visions of Jesus, the Messiah. Yeshua is going to appear to them, and they're going to see the one they pierced. Some of them are going to see that, and they're going to come to salvation. This is a moment of harvest as much as it is a time of war. Now, we must be wise. We'll keep taking this day by day this week and see what the Lord is speaking, but we want to keep you on the wall and keep you engaged. And don't be misdirected right now. This is a season of war. You must put aside some things in your life and say, no, I'm going to focus on this moment. It's a kairos moment, and I want to be engaged in what the Lord is engaged in, and that is a harvest. God's heart in the midst of war and devastation and calamity, chaos, is to draw people to his name and to his kingdom. It's not just so that we have to go through stuff and suffer. It's so that his name would be lifted up. So, Father, I pray right now that that would be our passion. Everybody that's listening here today, that that would be their passion. To see the kingdom coming, that will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But to see souls and to see transformation, deliverance for all. And that, Lord, that you'd use this crisis for your good. And let us be wise as serpents, gentle as doves. In the name of Yeshua. Amen, amen. All right, come back tomorrow. We'll keep giving you updates on what the Lord's speaking to us. Well, thanks again for listening to our daily podcast. As we try to keep you informed concerning what the Lord is saying, obviously, and the prophetic insights the Lord's given our ministry here at CCS. We thank you also for following us on our Pipeline Intercession page on Facebook. If you're not a member of that, just type in Pipeline Intercession, Christian Center Report, there in your Facebook search, and you can find us and you can join that group as well. As we give updates, we filter the media, and we give you insight on what we feel is important for this hour. Thanks again for sowing, each one of you that do that through our app. Don't forget our app has been updated. So many new things on that. You can check that out there or on our website, ChristianCenterShreveport.com. Well, God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.